Hi, everyone. Okay, so this is officially my first podcast at college. Not that this episode has anything to do with that whatsoever, but it's just like a little exciting thing. I have decided to do this episode now because I stumbled upon a Pinterest post that I found that I sent to a friend like over 2 years ago. And I was like, wow, this is something. It was about the ancient Greeks and how they recognize seven types of love. And I was like, I always want to speak about this. And there's a lot of things that I have in mind to speak about, but I only speak about it when I feel like I have the knowledge to speak on it, or if it directly relates to something that's going on in my life right now. So this episode is going to be about love in relationships. And I think that I want to do a whole series about love, period, because it's such a broad topic that we can delve into so many different areas. Like, it could be music, it can be art, it could be media. So there's so much to kind of explore, but for now I want to talk about love and relationships, because I think that whenever people think about love, the first thing that comes to mind is romantic love. But before I go into that, the reason that I'm also doing this now is because the stage of life that I'm in, and my Leah always says this to me, and I think that it's very comforting right now to remind myself, is that you have not met all the people you'll love yet. And Leah tells it to me all the time, and like I always like play it through my head like 100 times throughout the day, just because like it's such a comforting thing. I think that it's like such a beautiful thing, and it's so exciting, and it makes you look forward to things like, wow, there's so much out there that's gonna happen to me and I have literally no idea. Like, to me that's exciting, because I think I really enjoy change and I love to see what happens, because it's kind of like mysterious and like exciting. I feel like before I was a lot more scared of change, but now, like, once you embrace change, there's this sort of inner peace that comes with it. And so I feel like right now the stage I'm in, like, it's very weird being at college and meeting people, and I think that like you have a sense of, at least I have a sense of who I'm gonna like and who I'm not gonna like. Obviously I can be surprised, and I feel like I've spoken about this before, but it's just really nice to know like there's gonna be so many people that are important to me that I don't even know they exist yet. And whether that be like a romantic partner or my children or my husband, you know, like that's such a like crazy thing to think about. That's what I always think about, is just how much I'm gonna love my kids and how excited I am to kind of feel that love, because it's such an indescribable feeling that people like anyone who's given birth has said this, like you really can't describe the feeling. And so I'm so excited to see what they're all talking about and what the hype is. So first, I wanted to break down what love is, because when you look up what is love, you'll see many different things. And I think that the bottom line is that love means something different to every person. And I think that it has to do with your life experience or your upbringing or certain values. And I think that all those things contribute to what love means to you and like how you see it in the world, whether it be in relationships or in nature or in just general life. I think that so many things contribute to it. So I feel like it's a hard, very hard thing. If you look up anything involving love, I think it's very hard to find something that everyone kind of agrees upon. What inspired this episode is the Pinterest post I found about ancient Greeks recognizing seven types of love. And I'm also going to link a lot of links at the bottom, and I'm going to like reference them throughout the episode. So this one is one of the links that I'm going to link, and I'm going to go into the seven types, and I'm sorry ahead of time. I apologize if I pronounce any of them wrong. I have literally no idea how to pronounce some of them, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So the first type of love, which I think is what everyone kind of jumps to when you say love, is Eros, which is romantic love. And so Eros is named after the Greek god of love and fertility. And so this love involves passion and lust and pleasure. This is obviously a romantic love. And this love is the one that can act like a drug, which increases. I was actually listening to a podcast about this the other day, about love and dopamine, and this is why specifically when you're going through a breakup, you go into like a really bad state of depression. And maybe not for everyone it's depression, but I think it could be very similar, because you have a dopamine withdrawal and you're lacking the certain dopamine that you get from that relationship. And so that's why people tell you to exercise a lot when you break up with someone, because that is a healthy way of attaining some dopamine and to replace it so you don't feel as down. And because of the fact that this love can act as a drug, many people argue that love is not a feeling, but it's actually a physiological drive, which is really interesting because you always think like love is like this overwhelming feeling in your heart, but like really it comes down to so much more. And later I'm going to talk about also like the biological standpoint, just from like why it makes sense, why people crave love so much. Anyway, the second love is philia, which is friendly love. So this is like authentic, intimate friendships. It's usually platonic relationships and it's without physical attraction. And it's actually, I didn't know this, but I saw this in the article that platonic relationships, like it's named after Pluto because he believed that physical attraction was not necessary for love. And I think that this is what he means by it, is that you can love, there's ways to love people in so many different ways and it's not necessarily always romantic love. The next one is agape, which is universal love. And so that's more selfless and empathetic. And so that's love for strangers or people you don't know, and it's kind of boundless. Okay, everyone has experienced this. At least girls definitely have experienced this. But when you become so obsessed with fictional characters, this is what I thought that type of love falls into, this category of agape, because you don't actually know them. You don't have a connection with them. You're just like in love with them. And I guess a lot of the time it's the idea of them, but like I think that fictional characters apply to this, or like when you're watching a movie and you feel that kind of love. I don't know, that's what I thought, but I could be totally wrong. So the fourth type of love is ludus, which is flirtatious love, and that's like playful and light and free. So like think of a teenage crush or like a young love. And for me, what I thought is a good example that I like have felt before is when, let's say like you're at a museum or like you're on the subway or whatever it is, and you see someone who's cute and you fantasize about them. And for the time being, I know that I used to do this, is that like if I'm at whatever, like for an art museum, for example, and I see a really cute boy, I'm not going to follow him around, obviously, but like you're going to like try and put yourself in positions to like kind of bump into them without being explicit about it. And then right after that, like sometimes this happens too, is like you could tell, like I'll text my friend like, oh my God, there's the cutest boy I saw the cutest boy ever, and I'll, like whatever. And then I'll forget about it like 2 hours later because obviously it's like, it's very free and it's like stupid, like teenage love kind of. And it obviously means nothing because there's no emotions attached. It's just like, I think it's also the idea of someone. Maybe there has to be a love for like the idea of someone, because that would be fictional characters and falling in love with someone at an art museum. But that's what I thought. The next love, the fifth love, is storge love, which is familial love. And so this love is protective and caring and unconditional, and it's very common between parents and children. So like that, as I was saying, I wonder if like maternal love is like this on steroids. And I'm sure paternal also, but maternal specifically. And the other day I was actually talking to Maya about childhood friends and how it's a very different type of love, because you can outgrow friends and you can be on such different paths from them. But because they're your childhood friends, you'll always have that link to them and you'll always fall back on them, whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not. And I think that's something that's really comforting. So I think that this, like, childhood friends who you've lost touch with, or childhood friends just in general, have this some sort of familial love, because it's really unconditional. When people say this person is like family to me, like they're like a sister to me, this is what they mean. Like there's just this unconditional love that like no matter how much you fight, you know that they'll always be a part of your life, and even if you grow apart, you still love them and you'll always be there for them. And so I think that childhood friends fall into this category of familial love, and not even just like platonic love. I think it's really familial love. It's also like unconditionally, like you knowing someone so well. And this is something that I have been thinking about, I thought about at my gap year a lot, was the fact that the people that I'm meeting now know a version of myself that my childhood friends maybe don't know as much, and my new friends don't know my childhood self, if that makes sense. Like they don't know who I was, the person before I came to Israel, and because I could have put on an entire front and nobody would have known. And I think that it's weird because you want to grow, and like you meet up with old friends, and like it feels a bit weird because you're going into someone else and they're going into someone else. But at the same time, like at your core, you're always the same person. And I think that's very comforting, and like that releases some inner child feelings for me, is being with old friends and not having to think. I think that's really something that's so special, because the love is unconditional, as we said. Love number six, which is pragma, which is committed love. And this is like a devoted, compassionate, kind of love that's built long term, like commitment wise. And so this could be long term relationships or marriage, and this love matures over time. And I feel like I don't have the type of experience to say anything more on this, because I think that this is something that, like, really, like, long term means long term. It doesn't mean like what I've been best friends with some of my friends for like 12 years, 13 years. Like, as long term as that is, it's a very different type of love, because I think that, like, committed love, what that means is that it's a partnership, not necessarily a relationship. Like, a relationship I can have with a best friend, and, like, we don't have to talk for a very long time, but I still have a relationship with them, versus a partnership is something that you're actively working at. So I think that that is something that I have yet to experience, and I'm excited to experience. And the seventh love, oh, I'm gonna botch this so bad. Okay, Philautia. I wonder how to actually pronounce that. Hold on, let me check Siri.
Philautia.
Okay, so I obviously did that incredibly bad, but you get the point. And that is self-love. And I think that this is arguably the most important love, and I think that that's not a crazy opinion, and I think that many people hold it, because as the article was saying, and this is true, that love flows to others from the love inside of you. And if you have no love inside of you, you can't give to others, and that's why you always come first. So those are the seven types of love, which I thought were really interesting, because a lot of the times when you think love, you think romantic love, or you think familial love or friendly love. Those are the types of love that I think that, like, that first come to mind. If that, like, really, it just, when you say love, I think romantic love. This really reminded me of when Mrs. Kim Klee, one of my teachers, she told us about this concept of PI, which is a physical, intellectual, and emotional. So with a romantic partner, you have to have all three: a physical connection, an intellectual connection, and an emotional connection, which is the connections of your mind, body, and your heart, which makes sense. It makes complete sense. But she was saying, which ties into this concept of different types of love, that you can have a combination of other ones of those and it be a different relationship. So for example, an intellectual and an emotional connection, which is IE, that could be with a friend, because I have both of those connections with them, but it's not necessarily physical, which makes it a platonic friendship rather than a relationship or a romantic relationship. And then she said with a friends with benefits situation, where you're just hooking up with someone or whatever it is, it's most of the time either just physical or it's a physical and emotional connection. You're not necessarily having intensely intellectual conversations with the person that you're hooking up with. Maybe you do. And some are just emotional, which I think is kind of like family. I think you could also have an intellectual connection with your family, but I think it's very different. And I say from how I relate to my family, I would say I just have an emotional connection, which I think is nice. It's very interesting to remember, and I think that these three are, like, non-negotiable for a romantic relationship. For example, when you like someone a lot and you're not necessarily so physically attracted to them, it puts a strain on your relationship, and you can't be with someone you're not physically attracted to. And I think that she was emphasizing this a lot, because sometimes you think, like, it's okay, like, it's not that big of a deal. I really love them as a person, but you should want to be with the person that you're with. And it was really comforting to hear from her perspective that, like, it's not even being selfish. You need to have a physical connection with someone. You have to be attracted to them in order to be with them. That's just period. Non-negotiable. And on the topic of romantic love, I think that comparing romantic love is very, very complicated. When I say this, it's in terms of past relationships, because I've done this before where I'm with someone or I like someone and I'm thinking, like, I don't feel the same as I did with this other person. And, like, why don't I feel the same? Why, like, is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with the person? Should I not be with them? And I think that this is something that, like, clicked in my head, and I remember telling Leah about this, obviously, and, like, me and her recently spoke about this, is that don't compare someone's love and your relationship with someone to another one of your past relationships or someone else's, because you have a very different type of love with every person you have a relationship with, whether that be platonic, whether that be romantic, whatever it is, you have a different relationship with every single person you have a relationship with. And I think that's really nice, because I think of it as, like, a combination. Like, I have my personality traits, and I have the things that my goals and my, wishes and my values, and someone else has theirs. And so obviously, because they're a different person, we're going to match up in a different way than I would with someone else. So it's unfair to kind of compare my love with someone to my love with someone else. This is something that I think about a lot, is that I know what I have to offer. I know the whole scale. I know what I can give. I know what I am. But I don't have to give all of that to one person. And so I offer something different to every person that is in my life, because everyone has one, different needs, but two, like, it's just the nature of every relationship is different. And I think that's something that's so nice. Like, I really think that's so nice. And this is what I was telling Leah about, is that I think that it's such a good thing and it's such a healthy thing to have. It's not healthy to try and replace one love with one that's very similar, in my opinion. I think it's interesting and exciting to have different types of relationships with different types of people, and especially romantic, because when you're with different types of people, you're able to feel different types of love and see what works for you. So whether that be a more stable love or like a grounded love, or it's like a very passionate and like fiery love or whatever it is, I think it's interesting to kind of, you have to experience things in order to know what you like. And I think that being with people and seeing how your personalities mix and seeing what you can be is so important. When I was talking about how you have something different to give to every person because every person needs something else, I was thinking about the five love languages, and I will literally find any way to throw the five love languages into anything ever. But I was remembering one. I have a really good episode with Ariella and Sarah on my other podcast. The episode was titled, How Do You Learn to Love Yourself? And we spoke a lot about five love languages. And so I'm going to link that in the description. I think that's the first time that I discovered them, and my life has not been the same since. But the five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gift giving, and physical touch. And if you look it up, if you don't know what it is, look it up, because I think it's so important for everyone to know about themselves. And I think that there's so many tests that tell you, oh, you're like 30% quality time and 20% words of affirmation, whatever it is. I think those tests are stupid. I am all for personality tests, and anyone who knows me knows that. But with that test specifically, I think one is really stupid. It's more like, do you like a hug or do you like a gift? Like, it's very straightforward. And I think it's good also just to introspect a bit and think about it on your own without a test telling you and you convincing yourself of what's right for you. And also, I've heard this from so many people, that your love languages can change over time, or it can be different with every person. Because when your love languages can go for anyone that you have a relationship with. So obviously, if physical touch, this is a hypothetical, but if physical touch is important to me in a romantic relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean that physical touch is important to me in every relationship. Like, some people like being intimate with their partners in a physical way, and they like holding hands or giving hugs or whatever it is, but like, they will not touch their family. Like, I think it's very different with also the relationships, different relationships. As we were saying, like, every person is different and your relationship with them is different. It's definitely important to know for yourself. And when you're in a relationship with anyone, whether it be a friend and whether it be romantic, it's important to know what you like with them and what they like too. Because in general, this is something that I've experienced so many freaking times, that I like to give how I like to receive. So for this example is with one of my best friends, and we've been best friends for so long, and there's something about gifts that I really love, and it's not necessarily the monetary value of it or whatever it is. Like, I just like the gesture of a sentimental gift where, like, you've put thought into it and, like, I know you like this, and just the thought of it. Obviously I like a gift too, but I think that gift giving is a lot higher than I would think it was. And I don't like to admit it because I don't want to sound materialistic, but really it is, just because I like the gesture and the act of it. And so I used to give my best friend a lot of gifts, like for random stuff. Like she once had a recital, and like I stopped by her house and dropped her off like flowers and cookies and a note, like stuff like that. And it would hurt me sometimes because it felt like it meant more for me than it did for her. And like, that was painful because I'm like, why aren't you appreciating it? Like, I would appreciate this so much if someone did this for me. But then I then as we spoke about it, like, it's her least favorite way to receive love. And so I was just giving her how I like to receive love, but then I have to remember that she has her own completely different set of love languages, that maybe she likes words of affirmation better, and I just have to hype her up instead of dropping her off some flowers and cookies. So I think that's really important. And also, like, it saves a lot. I think it's a good, just a communication thing where I think it could save a lot of potential fights or arguments or hurt feelings. I'm just so obsessed with the five love languages, and I think it makes so much sense. And this is also for self-love. It can apply too, is that when you need to give yourself self-love and you feel like you need to work on yourself or whatever it is and give more attention to yourself, and you're like, I'm going to do a self-love journey. People tend to think that you need to do the five love languages with someone else and, like, with a romantic partner. Like, I love when they spend time with me, and I love when they touch me, or I love when they give me gifts. Why don't you just do that on yourself? Why don't you give yourself what you like to receive? And I think that that sometimes fills a void. It feels a bit weird at first to think, oh, I'm spending quality time with myself, but it's so important. And I think that we spoke about this in the episode. I don't remember because it was so long ago. I just remember, like, my mind being blown after this. And I think it's just become such a big part of who I am. And I remember this was like the third week within meeting Ollie. I asked him to rate his five love languages, and he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? He obviously didn't say this, but he participated, and he literally thought I was batshit crazy for making him rate his five love languages, and we actually just met. But that's just the way I am. Basically, know your love languages. That is the end of the story. So when I was doing research for this episode, because there's literally always more to do about love, and this is like such a tiny glimpse of what love is and like what it means to be in love in a relationship. But I was thinking, like, I want to speak about not just relationships, because everything I was finding with the seven types of love and everything like that, everything had to do with relationships. And I wanted to talk about, but what about the passion and love that you have for your work or for achieving your goals or for nature or for God or whatever it is? And I couldn't find anything. Like, it was so much harder to find something, which is so interesting. So I did find this article, though, while I was looking up different types of love for other things, and it was an article about being in love versus love, which I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's definitely about relationships versus other types of love. But it wasn't. But I did find it very interesting, so I'm going to talk about it. So there was 9 points, I'm pretty sure, and I wrote down the four that stood out to me the most. The entire article was comparing being in love versus love. So the first comparison that they made that I liked was, when you're in love with an idealized version of the other, but love is about the real person. And I think that's so important. And this is a quote that I found on Pinterest too. Oh my God, Pinterest is just the greatest of all time. But Pinterest, there's this quote, and I feel like it's a quote that everyone has stumbled upon literally 100 times. If I showed you a screenshot, you would know it, because it's like a circle around whatever. It's, the beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them, by Thomas Merton. Which I was like, that's so true. Like, when you're in love with someone, you're in love with the idea of them, and it's like, it's such an amazing thing, and you're on a high. But like, love is like, you see the person for who they are, and you see them for their faults, and you see them for their being, and you see them for their flaws. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, is to love someone and say, I know that you can get really stubborn about this, and I know that you can get very angry when this happens, and I know that you can be very short-tempered, whatever it is. I don't know why those are the qualities that I chose, but I love you anyway. Versus being in love, like, you kind of just ignore those signs and of being human, because you put someone on a pedestal, which I just thought was really interesting. And so the second thing that stood out to me was, being in love is wanting someone. Loving them is wanting what's best for them. So true. Enough said. Nothing more to say. The third is, romance burns quickly and erratically. Love grows slowly and takes a firmer hold, which is also so true. And this has to do a lot with, I feel like I can't really speak upon this because I'm not married and I don't have the experience, but I feel like this is what it means when you're in a long-term relationship and everyone talks about the honeymoon phase, and that's like you're on a high, like you are so in love with each other that like you literally can't get your hands off of each other. I'm just making this up. I have literally no idea how it is, but you know what I mean, like you're so in love with them and like nothing they could do is wrong in your eyes. And when you really love them, that's when it's like deepened and it's more firm and it's real and like you've gone through something.
The fourth is being in love with someone is a strong feeling and loving someone is a choice, which means that it's an active choice to love someone because you have to put in the work for it.
The conclusion of the article is that being in love often leads to love, which is what we were saying about marriage. And when initially it's about being in love and everything's so strong and intense versus, and then it kind of mellows out and then you are able to really love someone. And I think that's such a nice thing because people strive to be in love so much that they forget that we should really be striving for love and not for being in love, because being in love is more fleeting and it doesn't feel as real to me as love does, period. And it was not what I thought I would find, but it was really interesting. And on this point, I want to talk about love at first sight, because I think this is such a big thing that people believe in and people want, like the trope of like, I saw them and I knew. And I don't know, I don't like that at all, and I don't believe in it. I believe in attraction at first sight, and I think that people often equate love with attraction, and that's why they think I love them since the day I met them. The day you met them, fine, but this moment you saw them, I don't think that's real as much. I don't think it's really love. And I think that I'm saying this from an emotional standpoint because I cannot love someone without knowing them. I was thinking about a lot of the relationships I've been in, and a lot of the people that I've been with or I've liked, I didn't initially find attractive, because for me, I don't get, and there's not a lot of people that I'm initially attracted to off the bat. It usually just grows as I get to know them and I'm like, wow, you're really cute. Because I think that's because just I love people's heart. People often say this, is that to know you is to love you. And I think that is being in love, versus I think it should be to love you is to know you, because that's when you really love someone, is when you know them. And I think that's what everything is coming down to, is loving someone is knowing them and knowing them and loving them despite the fact that they can be a crazy bitch when they, I don't know, whatever it is. On that note, I wanted to conclude with some final thoughts about love. I just said like a lot in a very short amount of time, and I kind of just like, this is something that I've been really reminding myself a lot, is that what is meant for you will find you. And this connects to the fact that humans are constantly striving for love, and like once the second you're out of a relationship and you want more, it makes sense from a biological standpoint, because humans want to reproduce. You want to be with someone, you want to feel loved, and you want to have a family, and that's just like the initial instinct. But I think that it's important to remember that you need to take a break, basically. And at the end of the day, I know whatever's gonna meant for me will find me and will happen to me, and everything will work out in the way that it should in its own time. And it's given me a lot of peace to think like that, and it's really, really hard. It's a lot easier said than done, but it does make letting go a bit easier, because I know that it can happen again, and this is just a temporary feeling. And I wanted to, like, how many stories have you heard of people coming back together later in life? I think this is, I'm talking about when romantic relationships or even friendships, like, people just need time apart in order to come back to each other. If it's really meant to be, it will be. And if it's not, then great, you dodged a bullet. That's the way I've been thinking about things, and it's really like offered me a lot of peace, and it doesn't take away from the pain. It just offers me peace. And the next thing that I wanted to talk about is that you take something from everyone that you love. And there's different versions of this phrase. Like, everyone you meet, you're a mirror of everyone you meet, whatever it is, I don't know. But I think that's so nice. Like, is that not the most beautiful thing about humans, is that you take something from everyone you love? And like, a part of the recipe that I made tonight was from one of my best friends, and then certain mannerisms I have, or the music that I listen to, and just like small things, like it's kind of like a mosaic of, everyone is a mosaic of others, of people that they love. Isn't that so nice? And like at your core, you're always yourself, but it just means that like you've been touched by someone and they've left an impact on you. And it doesn't have to be a drastically huge impact. It could just be a little small thing that they added to your life. And I think that's so nice. And that has to do with like people come into your life for, what is it? I forgot the phrase. It's like people come into your life for a reason, a season, a reason, or for, I don't even know, whatever it is. Like the point is that people could come into your life either for a bit, they can be there forever, or they can come to your life because they have a purpose. And so maybe some of my friends who like I had very intense relationships with, and then we had a friend breakup, maybe all of that was so that I can learn something. And if you think like this, obviously they're humans too, but like they're part of your story in your eyes. And it gives you a state of mind that's a lot more peaceful when you think that everyone has something to offer to you, and that you have something to learn from everyone, whether it be as small as a recipe or as large as a different way of thinking. It's just a nice thing. Like, humans are so cute sometimes. And the last thing, and this kind of connects, is that I'm linking this, and it was just really cute. It's just how to say love, I love you, in 118 different ways and languages. And I think it's just so nice and beautiful that every culture has its own way of expressing love. And this goes in the verbal words, I love you, or in actions. And I think that's just so cute and nice. And I want to challenge everyone to learn how to say I love you in a different language. And that's basically the point of this episode, that humans are actually really cute. And so I hope you enjoyed this. I really did enjoy researching about this, because I think that love is something that anyone can relate to, like literally every person. It doesn't necessarily have to be romantic love, but love in general, like everyone has love in their lives. And if they don't think they do, then they're not looking hard enough. That's just something that humans can relate to. And it's very complex, but at the same time, it's very simple. And I just think that love is so beautiful. And I hope that everyone sees the love in their life. And I hope everyone has a really good night. And I hope everyone sleeps well.